Hello and welcome to the B Team Podcast. My name is John Macy. Tonight I am joined by Justin Ayotte.
Hello from the depths.
And Milosh.
Hello, hello, hello.
And we are here to review the final film in the DC Extended Universe, and maybe we'll do sort of a post-mortem on that whole thing, or at least maybe the last year of it, to review Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom. Starring Jason Momoa, Amber Heard, Dolph Lundgren, Patrick Wilson, Yahya Abdul-Mateen II, Nicole Kidman, Tamara Morrison. Am I missing anybody?
CGI
Squid Thing.
Yes.
I want to clap pronunciation.
For what?
Maya, whatever the second.
Yahya Abdul-Mateen second.
Yeah, Abdul-Mateen. There you go. Yeah, I wonder.
He was also Dr. Manhattan in the HBO Watchmen, and he's apparently Justin. You may know who this character is. I don't remember how many 80s and 90s Avengers comics you've read. He's playing Wonder Man in a Disney Plus show for Marvel. So we'll see a lot of him in the next few years, I would bet. There are times when he's been purple, yes. Anyway, this is the final film of the DC.
Killian was rumored being acting at some point.
Well, there's one of the shows or movies has like a, because that character is a movie star, or he was at some point, and there was a background, there's a poster in one of the backgrounds of one of the movies where Fillion's on a poster under the real name of the Wonder Man character. Yeah.
Wow.
Clearly they'll be ignoring that. Okay. So as I was saying before,
he was also in Baywatch. He was,
Momoa was in Baywatch, right?
Whatever you just said. He was in, he was Gardner. In Baywatch, the Rock Baywatch movie.
The Baywatch movie, okay, yeah. You said Baywatch, and I immediately thought Momoa, because he was on the TV show.
Oh, yeah, Momoa was also on, Momoa was on a TV show.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, so this...
Yeah, but he was also the young, who was it? He was also the young Morpheus, the last Matrix.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, the screwy, like, why is this version of the character even here version? Okay.
Yeah, and he was in Michael Bay ambulance.
Oh, the ambulance That's movie, yeah.
Mirror.
He was good in that. Yeah. Given that.
Yeah.
So I guess in lieu of, you know, what we normally do with the retro movies where we talk about, you know, what brings us to these, we can kind of talk about, like, given that this is the final movie in this universe, really, I guess we can kind of talk about the kind of the post-mortem of that, or kind of where it all sits now. Obviously, this, what else came out this year? Let's see. And we'll keep it to this year for starters, anyway. This was the year of The Flash, Shazam 2, Blue Beetle, and this thing. Yep. And for me, at least, I liked three of those movies, including this one. Although they all sort of had their flaws, and they all sort of had the same inherent problem in that, you know, and I've said this on every DC show we've done this in this last year, and I think I was on all of them except for Flash, because I didn't see it till after you guys did. And I think my problem with this whole last year of these movies is that the timing of the reboot announcement pretty much killed these four films. Because I don't really think anybody gave a shit about these once they announced the reboot. And I even found myself, like, I going into seeing this one, like, I enjoyed it, but... And maybe I'm projecting my own thought process onto the actors, but it just seemed like nobody gave a fuck. Like, if you watch this movie, I kind of felt like Momoa himself was kind of even just going through the motions of it, and we'll get into how much or how little Amber Heard's actually in this movie, because I think they tried to pretty much replace her with a CGI being whenever possible. I don't actually think she's in this movie very much at all, really. And it, you know, it's a decent film, but I think just
the main
don't...
problem. I have a question. They probably would have shot this before they made the announcement that they're going to reboot the whole thing, though.
Yeah.
So as far as everything that goes on in the movie, I wouldn't say.
I think all four of these movies were shot before the reboot. It's just a question of why did they make the reboot?
I'm with you as far as the four movies that came out this year, outside of the Flash, I pretty much all of them. And
even
for better or worse,
Flash, I like
Shazam, and Blue Beetle and Aquaman are actually characters that I wouldn't mind seeing again. The way and I get it, they move away from everything Snyder did, and they want to do everything new. But Blue Beetle, the story was good, the acting was good.
Yeah,
you know, outside of but not Guns liking went... George Lopez, because you don't George Lopez, like that's
Guns,
character but... that I want to see again. You know.
They want to move away from everything, but Gunn's willing to have Momoa play Lobo somehow. Okay. Sure.
I think it backfired a little bit.
I still think he touched it as Lobo, and then you had people be like, why is he not Lobo? He was Aquaman before. But, you know, that's...
Yeah.
But he goes back. Like, there's a couple of characters there that I wouldn't mind seeing again. It's like, you're never going to see Blue Beetle now, even though when we did the Blue Beetle review, like, part of our thinking was, if I'm Gunn, the Blue Beetle was actually precisely a gunnish thing. Like, that's something that you expect him to do. So now that it's been done, and it's been done fairly good, like, why not use it again?
Gunn will bring that character back. It won't be a Blue Beetle 2, but he'll come back. I could even see Levi coming back as Shazam, because I could argue that's far enough away from everything else that you could still do that.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
Talk about the movie we're here for. Some of these arguments we've already made. What were you going to say, Justin?
Oh no, I was just going to say I think the whole announcement backfired because of The Rock's failed coup of DC and Warner Brothers and all that stuff. So I think that's what prematurely made them come out with, you know, the gun stuff and, you know, all that kind of stuff, you know, ahead of time. Where, you know, if none of that had come out, I think they probably would have waited until roughly around now to announce it after all the box office stuff. I would imagine that was probably something they would have announced right about now. But they had to kind of get ahead of a lot of the, you know, stuff that was happening at DC and Warner Brothers and Discovery and all that shit happening, you know what I mean? So, plus, I mean, they weren't expecting the release Blue Beetle out in theaters. That was going to be just a streaming thing. I still haven't seen
that.
Oh, you should, man.
But yeah,
you definitely should.
Yeah, I do mean to see it. Just haven't had the chance to, and you know, stuff like that. But which I like the kid who plays Blue Beetle. He's in Cobra Kai, and he's pretty good in that. So, I heard George Lopez is kind of on and off in that one.
He always annoys me anyway. So here's my other thing about Gunn, and I mean, Brent has said this on, I think, on other shows we've done, or at least in the off-air parts of every show we've done about this. I actually think too some of the reason DC wanted the Gunn announcement when they did is because they wanted exactly what has happened, at least in internet communities. Gunn has been blamed for the failure of all four of these films, even though he had nothing to do with them. The fact he is known to be... Yeah. But every time I would see stuff on, like, websites and whatever, and, like, chat groups and whatever, it's like, oh, look, another Gunn movie bombed. It's like, no, he's in charge now. He had nothing to do with these. Like, he didn't make this. You know? So I think they wanted him to take the bullets for how shitty they knew these movies were going to do.
But I mean, it goes, you know, back to the point that we actually made. I think he willingly up, knowing he was going to get before everything, But I think, there was a quick group of like, I'm going to take the fall for everything that sucks now. But at the same time, you're going to let me do my thing for a while without any interruption. So I think in the end, it might actually be a good thing. So we'll see.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think the trade-off is you're going to take a lot of shit now, but the trade-off is we're going to let you do whatever you want for however many years it is.
I think he faked anyway. He just didn't, it just didn't matter to him because he seems like a pretty chill guy, and you know, he doesn't really care what, you know, the people on Twitter or, you know, forums and stuff think. So he's just kind of trying to do what he wants to do, and he'll just go out there and he'll just, you know, put it to you straight. He's like, yeah, no, we had nothing to do with these movies. He's like, yeah, everything you're saying is false. Like, you know, all the stuff about like Momoa not being Aquaman, Levi not being Shazam, Godot not being Wonder Woman. He's like, we've never announced that we're recasting those people. So, you know, who knows? Well,
Superman actually has been, but I mean, he was blamed for firing Cavill, which I'm sure he had nothing to do with. You know, so anyway, that's going to be, that movie's going to be in 2025. So we'll get to that whenever that comes out. This was directed by, this film was directed by James Wan, who also did the first film. From what I remember of the plot, and I saw this release weekend, and we're now in the middle of January. I believe release weekend was a couple days before Christmas, and I'm old, so I'm going to do my best. When it starts off, you have this whole, basically like a montage to catch audiences up to where the character has been for the last, you know, I think they say something like 4 years have passed since the first film, and he's just kind of, he's hanging out on the surface with Amber Heard, and they have a kid now, and he's just like hanging out being a dad. When he's not doing that, he's like, goes down to Atlantis to do like governmental shit, which, you know, they make a point to like, to say that, like, here's the first hang-up I had. It's like, I get that he's not, you know, the whole thing in the first movie was that he wasn't, generally wasn't respected by Atlantis because he spent his entire life living on the surface, basically he wanted nothing to do with Atlantis, but now he's the king, and, like, I thought the whole thing was going to be that some of the viewpoints there had actually changed somewhat, but they show, like, these scenes where he's in like a Senate chamber, basically, and he's basically like throwing out all this stuff they should do, and this council of people that he supposedly works with is like, no, we're not doing that, and we should have kept your half brother as king because he's better than you are, and that's, we don't do that because it's technically illegal, but we should really just remove you and put him back in place. The Atlantean government's pretty useless, and, you know, he's largely just enjoying being a dad, mostly. And here's where I got into the first bit of what I'll call Amber Heard dissonance, where you can tell they're trying to cut her out of this movie almost entirely, or as much as they can get away with, at least. Because she, over the course of, and, you know, not that I thought she was any sort of, like, Oscar-winning performance before this. I mean, she's probably the worst part of the first film, other than her ability to fill out the costume, because she looks pretty good in it. But other than that, she's pretty useless. But she has maybe 4 lines in the entire movie. There's a whole sequence, which we'll get to, that I think she was supposed to be in that she isn't. And then she gets taken out like halfway through it, but then just kind of weirdly comes back with no explanation, and has maybe 2 more lines and then disappears. So, like, they could have just cut her out completely and it wouldn't have made any difference whatsoever.
That's my argument. Basically, because of the amount of cutting out that they did, the 4 scenes that she is in makes 0 sense. But it's like, if you cut her out, just cut her out completely, like, the fact that you left her in there, and that the sequence that you're going to come to at some point where she actually saves his life, and it's like out of nowhere. nowhere, because it's like she's nowhere in the movie, and all of a sudden she shows up and she leaves again. Like the scene, I think the main movie would have been better if she was in it. I understand why they cut her out.
Yeah.
I may not agree with it, but I get it. But I think the movie suffered because she wasn't in it. My thoughts.
But I think I get what they're trying to do instead, and I think that works to varying degrees depending on your mileage for it, and we'll get into that as we go through it. But I also thought it was funny, like, and if you go back to our Book of Boba Fett review, which is kind of a weird pull from here, but I've never liked Temuera Morrison as an actor, like, ever. And, like, even the scene, like, I get what they're doing with him as Arthur's father, because, you know, he's from New Zealand or whatever, and Momoa's from Hawaii, so I guess you kind of, you know, they at least look like they could be related, but, like,
it's all he just nails in. Yes, they get away with it, you know.
But Morrison, as much as it's a small role and doesn't really matter to this movie, like, he had a bigger role in the first film, I thought. He just mails in everything, and he kills every scene he's in. I'm just like, go away, man. Like, really? And, you know, Momoa is pretty charming, and if you like him at any level, that'll get you through this movie, and that's kind of where I was. But any scene Temuera Morrison's in, I'm just like, oh, God, just go away. Ugh. So while all this stuff's going on in Atlantis, you also have the Black Manta character, who they actually gave a name to this time around. It was like David something or other. And he's obviously still pissy because Arthur killed his father in the first movie, and he's looking for some way to get back at him for that. And he finds this, he's looking for this piece of Atlantean tech called the Black Trident, which will do something, which was never clearly, at least I didn't find it to be clearly explained. So he's also working with They do. Once, I just wasn't sure how good of an explanation it was. I might have remembered,
because when Patrick Wilson touches it, he gets the whole history loaded into his head. There was war, and basically Atlantis's brother made the evil scepter to fight his brother, basically.
Yep. So the Randall Park character, who was in the post credits of the first film, is working with Black Manta to find Atlantean technology. He sort of becomes a helpless bystander to everything that the Manta does. Like, he just wants to see Atlantis. And they did kind of take a lot of this from the recent comic run that Geoff Johns did, which Brennan and I reviewed about a year ago, at least part of it, where he was just this scientist who, in the comics, he was just this scientist who helped his father raise him while they were on land. But he, you know, he knew that Atlantis existed because he'd been told that by Arthur's father, but he would get up and, like, give these scientific talks about Atlantis, and everyone would be like, you're a quack, shut up, that's not real. So his whole thing was he just wanted to prove that Atlantis existed, so he kind of gets dragged around through a lot of this plot, and, you know, he's doing Randall Park.
So here's my question, is the Asian Jim Marvel or DC at this point, or he's just being both?
I think his Marvel character is better between the two. Like, I still want that.
Definitely.
I still better. I still want that. That show that there that hypothetical show between him and the Thor chick doing like X-Files shit that they talked about during for a while. I think that would be really fun. He's basically doing the same thing here that he does in the Ant-Man movies, just a little less spazzy, maybe.
The same character, and eventually when they merge Marvel and DC, they're gonna have him be like the guy who like melds the universes together.
Randall Park will be our god, at least for comic book fans. Yeah, so you have this whole thing where the Manta's trying to get this trident thing, and there's also this kind of a, for lack of a better term, we'll call it a global warming plot, where something that Manta is doing while he's trying to find this thing is he finds this Atlantean mineral or whatever, I think it was called orichalcum or something of that nature. And he's basically taking it and refining it. He's basically taking it and refining it because I think they were using it to fuel weapons and all that kind of stuff. But then I think part of it was being used for like powering all the weapons and the tech that he had. But at the same time, he's also just taking giant loads of it and like booting it into the atmosphere because it supposedly like accelerates global warming. And while this is a topical side plot, I would guess you can call it, I feel like from what I remember hearing, I know that Momoa pitched them part of this story, and he's a pretty hardcore environmentalist, so I would guess this is the stuff that he did. And I kind of think this whole thing was the in plot reason for this was kind of a distraction while he tries to get the trident thing, unless there's something I'm missing where it's actually more than that, because it just kind of came off sort of Bond villainy to me, which is fine.
They needed it to power the suit that they were using, and basically yeah. the way they set it up was there were caches all around the world, like 7 or 8 places, and basically they ruined all of them except the main one that was in Atlantis. So that's where they actually went. And while they did use a big chunk of it to power up the ship, they were just bringing it up just to destroy the atmosphere.
Right. Yeah, he was actively taking the excess and trying to wreck the atmosphere, right?
Yep.
It was the brainwashing thing from the black evil guy thing with the trident, like the Dark Lord or whatever the hell he was. Was like kind of influencing him to use that ship that they found to take that orichalcum or whatever and burn it all up. So that way you keep like feeding it in to, you know, the whole plot of like the global warming and warming the earth and fucking it all up. And so it was kind of like a dual plot. Like they were doing it because they were trying to like, you know, ruin like Aquaman and Atlantis, but then also side plot, this other weird dude from like beyond the grave is trying to come back and use Manta as, you know, the way to do it.
Yep. But I guess where I was lost with that was like, was he holding the surface world for ransom and saying like, do something or I'm just gonna keep dumping this shit in the atmosphere and you all die? Or was he just doing it?
I think he was just doing it, like, to fuck with them. Because Atlantis used to be part of the surface world. And so they consider it all the same thing, because the water and the land and everything, like, you need it all together because it's the planet. So they were trying to say that, like, they needed to basically unite to go against, like, you know, the threat, you know?
Yep. And that was one of the things that Arthur does in one of the council sessions. He's very much, like, right out of Black Panther. He's like, hey, why are the Atlanteans still hiding? We have to go out and, like, work with the surface people to, you know, because we can all help each other, sort of.
I was just about to say.
Technology, like, we can clear the ocean and seal the air and whatever.
Yep. So, yeah, I mean, it reminded me of Black Panther, a far better movie than this. So that's going on. And I'm also kind of wondering what the rewrites were, because at one point, Affleck's Batman was supposed to be in here. And I'm wondering how much they changed that. You know, if they just rewrote it wholesale, or if there's somewhere in this plot they could have put him.
Maybe it was one of the surface things. Maybe they were going to, like, have him plop in maybe, like, in the Sahara or something. I don't know.
Yeah, that would have... I would have liked seeing him again, though. I mean, as much as I understand their desire not to... As much as I understand their desire not to confuse people with the Pattinson Batman or whatever the reasoning for not doing it was.
I kind of liked Aquaman being on his own, doing his own thing.
Yeah.
Like, you don't need those guys in each other's movies, you know what I mean? Like, it's always nice to just kind of have them, you know, do their own thing, you know?
I can agree with that. And, you know, Momoa's got enough personality on his own to, you know, where you're not like, oh, I need somebody else to show up because this person sucks.
Plus, I really like the dynamic.
No, he's charismatic enough where he actually fits in the whole screen and, like, he has a presence.
Yep. The whole thing between him and Patrick Wilson, I'm guessing, is what you're about to say.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, like the dynamic between them, it was really good.
Yeah, that was. I actually really enjoyed that because basically what happens is, does he have an encounter with the Manta with the Trident without Orm present? He gets his ass kicked. Is that why he decides to go let him out of prison?
No, it's because he didn't know anything about it.
When Manta breaks into Atlantis to steal the fuel, that's where they fight. And then he's like, there's something different about him. Because when I fought him last time, he wasn't like this.
Yep, and that's the point where Amber Heard appears to be knocked out of this movie forever. And then...
Like when they tried to kill her off, and they said, legally, we can't kill her off, so let's just put her in intensive care.
Sideline her for an hour and a half. So at that point...
Replace her with the CGI squid.
Yep. And she is also, I think, at multiple points in this movie, replaced by a CGI person, too. But we'll get into that.
I
was happy. So.
Yeah, I actually did kind of think that was kind of funny. But, so then Arthur decides he has to go break Orm out of prison. And he's given a squid named Topo by his mother, who's like this, you know, his mother is like the former queen of Atlantis and stuff, and she gives him this squid that's supposed to help him out in going and doing this. So he goes, he finds Orm, who, you know, is in some like desert area, and they haven't let him near any water or whatever, so he looks all like Steve Rogers from First Avengers skinny, you know, sort of, and then Arthur breaks him out and gets him in some water, so he's all jacked again. I did actually really like what Patrick Wilson does in this movie, because while I don't know what you guys think, and we'll talk about this, but I found him in the first movie where I liked his performance, but it was in the first movie it was nothing more than like scenery chewing, yelling, and all the standard like Bond villain shit. You know, and here he gets to, because he's not the villain, maybe, he gets to do a little more, and he's really, I at least found what he did in this movie to be really fun, in the sense of, you know, he has this, go ahead.
I think part of the reason there is why he got a bigger role is because they had to kick Amber Heard out of it. So you have to, like, you can't just have him log around doing nothing. Like, you actually generally have to give him something to do. And Patrick Wilson is good enough character actor where he can act. We all know that. So it's like, as long as you give him something to work with. And I think what he was given here is a lot far better and deeper than what he was given in the first movie. And he shows.
Yep. I really loved
his performance. Yeah.
Yep. I love the thing when they were escaping from the prison and they're running across the ground, and he, because he's lived his entire life in water, basically, he has no clue how to run. And there's like a bunch of dialogue like, how are you doing this? I don't get it. You know, I thought he was really good here. And I mean, it gets kind of preachy sometimes, but I don't, you know, I have to remind myself that like inherently these movies are for children. So maybe if they want to sneak some of that stuff in there, fine. But, you know, there's a whole thing about
made you know, by like side of the thing. You know what I mean? Like those people like, oh, you're ruining our water. You're ruining the land, you know? So they kind of have to put that little politicalness sometimes in these movies, you know?
I wasn't even thinking about that. I'm thinking more of like the, you know, you're prejudiced against the surface world and yet you've never even seen them. Like, I get that. And I think there's ways you can show that without
even... He gives them a crutch to eat and he's like, oh, try this.
Yeah. Yeah. I just think, and you know, again, this is where the target audience for these movies being children is different than me at almost 50 years old going to see a comic book movie. But, I guess for me, it's like there's a whole lot of stuff when they're going back and forth about, you know, because Arthur basically says, you know, you have all these prejudices against the surface world, but you've never thought about what they actually do that's good for everyone or whatever. They're just this faceless enemy that you have and you've never really thought about what they contribute. And it's like there's ways to do that without saying it with a hammer. You know, but I get that the average audience for this probably kind of needs it hammered. But, you know, that stuff was cool. Yeah. That stuff was cool. And, you know, there's a lot of... I think I could have done with a couple less scenes with Manta and Randall Park just kind of going back and forth about shit. Like, this movie's not that long either. It's like maybe 20 minutes shorter than the first movie was. And it just seems to kind of... I would wonder what the original plot was, I guess, is my thing. Because it feels kind of like a lot of stuff was cut out and moved around and everything. And not in such a way that, like... I feel they did the same thing with The Flash and it ruined it. Not that it had much hope anyway with two versions of Ezra Miller running around. But, you know, I would be curious to see what the original script was because... I feel like that might have been a better film. So they go back to, at that point, they go back to Atlantis with Orm and they try to come up with some plan to stop the Manta with the Trident thing. And he tries to get to where the, like Justin, you said, the spirit of the prior king from beyond the grave is there. It's kind of like the Vigo thing from Ghostbusters. It's not a painting, but it's like, he's being manipulated by this thing the whole time, and he needs blood from the Atlantean royal bloodline to make this work. So basically your options are Orm, Arthur, or Arthur's kid are basically your options there. So Manta goes up to the surface world, attacks Tamir Morrison, and kidnaps their baby, thinking to sacrifice it to bring the dead king thing back to life or whatever. Randall Park kind of, when he realizes that Manta is willing to kill a baby, is like, no, I want out of here. So he goes to Orm and Arthur are in Manta's complex trying to figure out a way to shut down the thing that's poisoning the world. And Shin goes up to them and goes like, can you help me get out of here? And they're like, no, who the fuck are you?
Punch him.
So
okay, I'll punch.
Okay. Yeah, there was no... I thought it would have helped if, you know, if, and again, this is the comic, and obviously they're not always going to follow that, but there was a... In the comic, there's like a prior history between this character and Arthur, which doesn't exist in this movie. So like, you know, I think if you'd had something there, it would have been a more interesting scene to be like, no, I'm not going to help you because you did X. Not like, I'm not going to help you because you're just some guy who asked me to help you and I have no clue who you are or what you're doing here. So yeah, that happens. There's a big fight between Manta and Arthur and Orm, kind of like a three-way thing. And like you said, Milosh, the Trident thing, like, possesses people almost, and Orm gets his hands on it, and then he kind of turns half evil, basically. And he basically
It's almost like the mask from The Mask. Like, it just goes from one person to another. And it, like, it starts, like, transforming.
Yeah, when you put it like that,
Or when Gerard tries to be the genie or whatever, like, something like that. Like, you know, I don't know. It's weird, like, how they did that.
And I mean, I know I'm not, in some ways, I know I'm not doing this plot justice either, but it kind of felt like a very much, it kind of felt like a very much stitched together plot, in the sense of, like, they probably sat down to write this and go, like, okay, we have these four or five action scenes, now how do we get from, what do we write in between them to get some sort of plot out of this? So then there's also a lot of stuff with Dolph Lundgren as the king of whatever Mira's country was. And I think it's funny that, like, there's not a single, you know, and I don't mean to crap on Dolph Lundgren. I know you like him a lot, Justin, in that whole Sly and Arnie vein. But I thought it was funny that there's not, like, a single person in the Atlantean part of this movie with an accent. And then you have Dolph Lundgren, who's like, or like half of his dialogue.
I want to put it out there that I don't think he's like some thespian actor. Like, I get that he's not the greatest actor in the world. I just think he's a cool action star guy. But
he's really good.
I guess him and Patrick Wilson were like not very good in the first one. Like, if I had to pick people who are not very good actors in the first one, it was the two of them. But honestly, Dolph got a little better in this one, and Patrick Wilson was much better in this one. I loved him more in this one than the first one. You know, he was very bad in the first one.
I honestly think they told him in the first movie, like, hey, Patrick, just do the Bond villain thing, and we'll cut around it. You know? And that's basically what they did. I almost did kind of, like you said, Justin, not everything in all these movies has to be, like, connected to everything else. And I did kind of enjoy the fact that, I mean, you knew they weren't gonna set up anything else because this whole universe is basically dead now. But it was kind of nice to just get this thing that was just contained to this one character and the characters around him, and you didn't have any of this, like... As interested as I would have been to see the Affleck Batman thing, just because my one constant refrain is that he got kind of short shrift through this entire thing. You know, I mean, it didn't really need it, so I get why you wouldn't do it. And it worked perfectly fine without a lot of that.
It's like some of the early Marvel movies, you know, like you had like Iron Man 3 that didn't really have like anybody but Tony in it. You know what I mean? Like you had... the Winter Soldier, who really didn't have anybody else in it besides like Natasha, but like she's kind of like one of those characters that's like not really a main character person, you know. Thor the Dark World, you didn't really have anybody else in that one, you know what I mean? Like it's kind of like those sequels from then where, like, you didn't really have everybody just, like, popping in until, like, Civil War. And then all of a sudden everybody was in everybody's sequel, you know? You know, I could imagine them bringing back not only Momoa as Aquaman, but, like, James Wan as a director. Like, I could imagine them keeping this part of the universe for, like, whatever they're planning on doing next. Because... Aquaman.
No, he's of the major leads they have in this universe. He's the best. He's the best one. Like people, I hear people go on and on and on about how great Cavill is, and I'm like, oh, okay, I guess he's fine. Those are the
for Aquaman was the best casting choice they did.
I mean, here's the thing that I think, you know, and I'm not one of those people that's like, I don't necessarily need to die on the hill of like, all these characters need to be accurate to the comic book in order for me to like them. There have been plenty of takes over the years that aren't, that I like just fine. Like, Momoa as Arthur and how they've chosen to have him play it is about as far away from the comic book take as you can possibly get. But he does it well enough where I'm like, yeah, this is different, but I don't really give a shit. Because he's really good.
I think that was general idea. Because Aquaman was always the guy in the orange suit talking to Fritz, you know? Yep. And for better or worse, Momoa's portrayal of Aquaman in the movies actually changed everybody's perception about him. Now he's the cool guy.
He's not the...
And a big part of that is because of Momoa.
That's the thing is that you either get him to be like this like nerdy character that nobody cares about in these movies that just talks to fish, or you get like basically what people would see as a Thor ripoff. So I think they had to kind of diverge in these movies from what he is, because he's essentially like the Thor of the Justice League, and so you can't really. You can't really have him be like that and have like a Shakespearean actor with blonde hair come in and be him, because then it's like, well, this is just Thor underwater, you know? And so, you know, and especially when they brought in Black Panther, you know what I mean? Then that's like, well, it's just a mixture between like T'Challa and fucking Thor, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So yeah, you're right. They kind of had to go away from what the comic accurate take would have been, because they just would have been slagged for ripping a bunch of other shit off. But I would argue, and maybe the box office take of this movie will in their minds justify not having him play Aquaman anymore. But I would argue that, you know, given that I think the first movie was the only one of these to make a billion, you're dumb if you don't have him continue to be Aquaman.
Honestly, the Aquaman and Aquaman 2 were probably my favorite like first and second movies of this whole DC thing, even above the Shazam movies. Like, I loved the first Shazam. Yeah. I liked the second Shazam. I didn't think it was like the greatest, but I liked it.
Yeah.
I think Aquaman 2 is probably one of the better DC movies since like probably the Suicide Squad at the beginning of last year or whatever. Like, I think to me it is, you know. And actually, some people at work were like, they liked Aquaman 2 more than the first one.
Yeah, I think there's something to be said for that. It you know, your Amber Heard mileage may vary from the first movie because she's in a lot of that. And then, you know, this one dispenses with a lot of the setup that the first one had, and you just get right into a story there. So I will say, though, I mean, I there wasn't a ton of action in this movie. Like, I kind of expected more than there actually was. I wonder if that's part of that is like COVID concern, because who knows when they filmed this thing. And like I said, it just sort of had this, and maybe I'm editorializing this given what I know about what their plans are, but I just kind of felt like a lot of people in this were kind of going through the motions, sort of, and it showed in the film itself. I mean, I still enjoyed it, but I was just like, you know, this would be completely different if I didn't, maybe this comes across to me completely differently if I didn't know they were shutting all this down now.
You have that, but I think also the problem is that I think the actual set for this one may have been a little troubled, just because a lot of this was happening during the Amber Heard, Johnny Depp case and
Kyle thing.
Yeah, and they were doing reshoots while they were doing that, and Momoa was showing up on set dressed up as Jack Sparrow, and you know, shit. So it's like they it doesn't seem like the set overly like was excited about her being there, and legally I don't think they could basically eliminate her from the movie, because she, you know, that was their whole testimony, is that, you know, this trial is not gonna be you know, lowering her amount of time in it, because she was saying that she was being cut out of the movie then. So it may have also been like stuff they were doing then where they were trying to cut her out of the movie. And now that now she was trying to say she's being cut out of the movie because of the trial, you know, which that was one, honestly, 3 years ago. So I
just go back to like, they could have just cut her off completely. I think you just cut differently to where Manta attacks Atlantis straight off. And then she ends up in a coma, and then you basically don't have to deal with her again. And you just change some things around, because I'm going back to my original point. The fact that she was in a movie and the fact that you cut her out but then kept her in lessens the movie. I think the movie would have been better with her in it. I think the chemistry that I had with Mamoru in the first one was a big part of why I liked that movie. And while Patrick Wilson did pick up giant slack in this one, movie suffered for the lack of her being basically. I think it would have been a better movie. Mm. And honestly, at some point, I wouldn't mind seeing a cut of this probably in like a decade or two. And if one whole thing died down, as far as, you know, her depth thing, like I would love to see a cut of this movie that's actually full her there. Because I think you'd vastly better movie.
I don't think they're ever going to do that, considering that current ownership of Warner Brothers Discovery has said they, they shouldn't have put the Snyder cut out. So I don't know that we're going to see any more director's cuts like that, but it would be interesting to see. I'll give it that. With the digression of the David Ayer having given up the director's cut of his movie as well, because he knows that they won't do that either. Yeah, so then the end of it is just, you know, they basically crib the end from Black Panther, where after the problem is dealt with, he basically goes up to the surface and says, like, yo, I'm Aquaman, we have a bunch of tech in Atlantis that we want to help you guys, you know, we want to help the surface world out, and let's all go get drunk. Which, you know, just seems like the perfect Momoa way to end one of these movies. Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed this. I guess it sort of had this weird, like, funerary tone around it, I guess. Like, the whole time,
oh, there's a finale,
like, oh, that's a cool idea. Yeah. I mean, I guess
there's a finale to it, and it's like, you want to enjoy it?
Yeah.
And I mean, I probably enjoyed it more than you guys, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
But I walked out of that movie, and it's like, man, like, he just says that this is it. Like, he doesn't, you know, the concept is good. The stories have been good. The acting has been, like, more than good. James Wan does amazing stuff with this, directing this, both of them. I think are far better movies. And it's like, that's it. And it's like, you know, it could have been more. Like, their stories untold here. And, like, I hope somewhere down the line, you actually get him as Aquaman again. They get done using him, even though I know that's not going to happen. But
I hope
honestly,
so.
Whatever.
I hope he changes.
Whatever they do with DC now, it's like, I think it's a little bit less better place without Momoa's Aquaman in it.
Yeah, and this at least in
I
America,
hope
this
I
does
hope
hit...
bring him back. I hope there's something more there that they actually do with him. I hope Gunn changes his mind and actually locks him into staying or something. But he's a character that you want to see again.
I think he'll still be there, but he's going to be Lobo. Which, meh. I don't personally don't really care about that character, but whatever. He'll show up in a Superman movie or something or other. Yeah, I mean, I guess my whole thing is, like, I just... this whole last year of these movies, and, you know, Marvel is in an equally weird position based on their own shit, but I mean, this whole last year of comic book movies has been real fucking weird. And this one doesn't help. I enjoyed it very much. It is actually going to be on digital video next week, so if you want to see it again, that's when it's going to hit home video. Yeah, and the other thing that I tried to remind myself of is I think all four of these movies that came out this year were supposed to come out in a different order than they did. which I don't know if that would have helped any either. And I, you know, I don't think this one was originally intended to be the end of a universe. So it's like, I'm sure there were some people that, you know, somehow thought there was going to, and I will give DC credit, they never claimed this was going to be part of it, but I bet there were some people who thought there was going to be some post-credits thing that was going to lead into Gunn's Superman movie, and there just isn't. And I never expected that. I didn't even stay for the, probably in the history of comic book movies, I didn't actually stay for the credits this time around, because I was just like, whatever it is, it's probably going to be some dumb joke, and it doesn't actually matter anyway, because if it's a setup, they're not going to do anything with it.
Yeah, pretty much. It was just a repeat of the joke from earlier in the movie.
The cockroach thing?
Yeah, the cockroaches, yeah, because he's like, he's like out in the world, and he's like at that restaurant, like eating, and then he finds a cockroach walking across his table, and he like picks it up and puts it in his burger and eats it, and he's like, And that's
if he's going to develop an appreciation for the surface world, it might as well be cockroaches. yeah. So, here's the other thing. Technically, this universe is over with, right? Except there is one weird little outlier, at least as I see it. I mean, there's, and not that I think they shouldn't do this, but they're doing more of the Peacemaker show. So, like, that's kind of still in this universe, unless they expressly say it isn't.
Well, they have also kind of put Peacemaker on hold, but they're doing like that Amanda Waller shows.
Yeah, so, that's coming first.
Like I said, I don't think everybody like seems to think it's like everything now is like Gunn, and Gunn's gonna do this, Gunn's gonna do that. I can see him keeping stuff. I don't think it's gonna be a hard reboot. I think it's gonna be a soft reboot. You know?
Yeah. It'll be a soft reboot at best, because there is some stuff they're gonna have to keep.
He's gonna want to keep Robbie as Harley if she wants to come back. She's saying now
she doesn't want to do it anymore, almost.
She's retiring from acting for a little while. I don't know what that means. They're going to want to keep John Cena as Peacemaker. They're going to want to keep probably that whole Peacemaker team. You know, they're going to want to keep Viola Davis as Waller.
She's the star of the Waller show. I mean,
unless this all becomes like an Elseworld thing, because they're going to still do that. They're going to do like an Elseworld banner, which is what Pattinson's Batman falls under, which is what the Joker falls under. So unless Peacemaker and all that become an Elseworld thing, and that's different than what's their main, you know, movies and stuff like that, which I mean, that could happen, you know, which is how they could get around
the main, or probably the reason why there's a break with Peacekeeper is because Gunn is actually taking care of other stuff. Peacekeeper just isn't something that he could devote time to, because once he settles with everything else, Peacekeeper is gonna keep going.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to do the Superman movie first, and then they're putting the Waller show out before Peacemaker 2, so we still got a while.
Yeah.
But I think I read somewhere he's at least writing it right now, because he's actually writing the entire season this time around. And he's going to direct the entire season, I think, too, or at least that's what was said at one point. But actually, the next actual DC project in the first part of Gunn's new universe is an animated show for HBO Max called Creature Commandos. So I would think we'll end up doing something about that if it interests enough of us to do. Justin, I kind of agree with you that the Aquaman films are the most consistently good films of this whole thing. Which is funny, because they're probably tonally and whatever the farthest away from Snyder stuff that you can possibly get in here, Which should say something to him. Go ahead.
Oh, I said that's why I think it makes them good. Because they're torn away from the Snyder stuff, because Snyder movies are garbage.
Yes. I still haven't sat through Rebel Moon because I'm not sure I can.
I thought about it, and then once I heard Zack Snyder directed it, I said, never mind. I'm not going to waste my time.
Well, here's another ridiculous thing.
Suggest for the Snyder Cut of that to come out.
Well, yeah, Milos, here's the point I was going to make, though. Here's the dumbass part of this, right? So part that Rebel Moon's like a two-part movie, right? And the first non-director's cut is on Netflix right now. And when they first said they were going to do the two separate cuts of each one, it was said that the first director's cut would be out before part two. Not anymore. The director's cut of part one is scheduled for the director's cut of part one is scheduled for the summer, 4 months after part two comes out. So I'm like, fuck that noise. I'm just going to wait for that. Even if I even bother with them at all by that point.
Surprisingly, I'm more actually happy with that decision.
Yeah, but I was kind of waiting.
Here's the thing, because the director's cut of it is supposed to be a completely different movie than what was released. So basically, if you watch it, that's two movies coming out plus two director's cuts. It's basically four movies. And if you watch part PG-13, then you watch the Snyder's cut. Then you watch the second part PG-13, it's gonna be completely different than we just watched the director stuff. So I'm okay with them releasing the PG-13 stuff, then director stuff.
I suppose.
Actually makes sense.
Four movies of the same thing by Zack Snyder.
Yeah, I mean, I will say though, his director.
I still don't get the PG-13 version, but hey, whoever mandated that, whatever. But I actually want to see the director start of it.
Probably want to broaden that horizon.
His director's cuts do tend to make his movies better. I just think it's funny that he has this whole formula of non-director's cut of movie, total garbage, with the exception of, I will say, I like 300. And I like the non-director's cut version of Watchmen. The director's cut version is better, but the non-director's cut version is not total shit. But all of his DC movies, theatrical cuts, total garbage, and then the director's cuts tend to salvage them to something watchable, and in some cases actually pretty decent. I would not mind at this point a director's cut of Man of Steel, which they never did, and I don't know if they at this point would even do that. But yeah, I would at least see that. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
But the director's cut, BVS. I mean, it's still bad, but at least made it watchable. The director's cut
Or in theaters.
Let's say that again.
I still haven't seen BVS since I saw it in theaters.
You're probably better off than we are. I've seen it a couple of times.
Yeah, I can't watch that movie again.
And I'm fine with it until... I'm generally fine with it until, you know, his massive misconception of Batman aside. I'm generally fine with it until, you know, the whole, why did you say that name?
I came across this meme I saw the other day that I had saved on my phone, and it was when Steve Rogers is trying to peel Thanos' hand apart with the glove, and he goes, Martha, and then Thanos is like, the fuck is a Martha? And then he goes, it was worth a shot.
That's pretty good, actually. Yeah, so I'm cautiously optimistic about Gunn Superman. I don't know who the guy who's playing him. I have no clue who he is, but they've they put some decent actors around him in other roles. Rachel Brosnahan as Lois Lane. And they actually, it looks like they're doing, it might not be the Justice Society, but they're taking some like Justice Society level characters and putting them in this movie. Like, Mr. Terrific's in the movie, Metamorpho's in the movie, Hawk Girl's in the movie. So I think there'll be some version of, it'll be some team or other that either he works with them or has to deal with them in some other capacity, but it'll be, and there's some actors I like in there. The guy from the, I guess, am I the only one who watched Barry in here?
Yeah, I never watched it.
I don't even know what it is.
It's the one with, show with Bill Hader. Yeah, with Bill Hader. It's on like HBO or something.
Yeah, you might like it actually.
When he's chef or whatever, the sandwich guy.
No, he's a hitman and he goes into like an acting class. Yeah. Yeah. No, the bear is the sandwich.
Yeah.
That I have to start watching. After how good he was in the Iron Claw, I have to find that show and watch it. But yeah, I mean, this is kind of
Disney or Matt something. I know I saw it.
Yeah, it's on Disney Plus now through the Hulu thing. So I can at least sit down and watch that. So so this kind of ended up being our funeral for the DCEU. I can't say it'll be missed for the most part. My one big complaint is that actually, it's really kind of two things, and one of these to me is a big deal. One of these is not. The big deal one for me is I really wanted to see the solo Batman movie with Affleck that they never did. I really wanted to see what that would have been. The other one for me was, as much as it was kind of made weird by basically his attempt to take over the studio at that point. I mean, part of me actually really would have enjoyed the Black Adam versus Superman thing that they used at a certain point that would never happen.
It would have been much better if they had stuck with Shazam and stuff like that. But once again, Zach Levi isn't a big enough name to really, match with The Rock and stuff like that. So I can see why they didn't want to do that. And Shazam really doesn't bring anything to the movie, but Superman does. So I get Rock's branding on that, but
the other thing too is a lot of the reason why we talked about this, I think, when we reviewed Black Adam too, is that a lot of why the Black Adam stuff doesn't work comes down to not however they would have wrote it or whatever, but the level of power and approval that you gave Dwayne Johnson in how this character would be used, because he was supposed to show up in Shazam 2 and he was like, no, I'm not doing that. And that's too small time for me. I'm not doing that. And then he was supposed to show up in
that movie.
Yeah. And I think he was supposed to show up in The Flash too. And he was like, no, I'm not doing that either. So it's like, you're not helping, no one, that movie failed because no one knew who that character was. And if you had put him in some other places, particularly in a Shazam movie, I think you would have helped that.
Because he thought it was just going to make money based off The Rock. And I'm like, it's money. But, problem was, is that that was like a cut together movie. And, we podded it. So, I mean, if you want to go back and listen to that pod, you can. I mean, I do kind of wish that what's-his-face, Hawkman, could be plucked out and brought into this universe. Yeah, because I liked him as Hawkman. And
I've heard rumors he's under consideration for
King. Need to bring the cons back.
Yep. I've heard rumors Hodge is under consideration for Kang, too, if they recast Kang. I would love that. I think he'd be good. I would like that. And he's not a big enough name that I think he's going to give them problems or anything, and he would be really good. I've liked that guy since Leverage, pretty much.
Same.
And he's one of those guys I'll go looking. Yep, he's one of those guys I'll go looking for anything he does. So yeah, that would be. I would like to see Hawkman come back in some capacity, and given the fact that Hawkgirl's going to be in Legacy, it actually kind of surprised me that he wasn't. So yeah, I guess while we're talking about this as kind of a send off to the DCEU, what was I'll just ask each of you, what were your favorite movies or favorite moments in those? Any favorite moments in all those films? I guess that's worth it.
I mean, I really liked Injustice League. Like when they all got together, like at the end, and they're going against not Darkseid, but the other guy. You know, I like the whole like Superman and Barry like running and stuff, and like flying, and like, you know, not really the race, but like trying to see who's faster and stuff. I like to see them work together. Like, it was really neat to see them all work together in that. I'm trying to think of like a favorite moment. Probably was in the first Shazam movie. It was probably like when they all became like the Shazam family. Like, that was pretty neat. And they were like fighting like the
Really?
Yeah. Yep.
No, the other one. Yeah, and for me, I mean, there's a couple of like small moments, but I guess for me, like, outside of the Aquaman movies, which I like pretty much from start to finish, like, the rest of the movies, there's like small moments throughout, and, you know, little things that crop up at times, and even just the way some things are shown, it's not even necessarily like plot lines or anything. I just feel like for the most part, a lot of these movies for me are kind of poisoned by the stink of Snyder, and it just kind of makes it hard for me to get a lot of them. I mean, one of my small moments was Man of Steel when he has the first flight moment. Like, that was pretty cool. Like, as much as I shit on a lot of the underlying kind of the underlying bricklaying of that movie, like, that was a pretty cool moment. The No Man's Land scene in Wonder Woman, pretty cool. There's some other things too, but like a lot of the Aquaman stuff, like some of the first moments, like the first time you see Atlantis and the first Aquaman, like, that was pretty neat. I was pretty impressed by that, because I don't think, you know, you could have done that in Black Panther with the Taco Bellians or whatever the fuck. But they just kind of half-assed their... Yeah, they just kind of half-assed. They just kind of half-assed their Atlantis, because I didn't think they wanted direct comparison to the Aquaman version, but I mean, for the most part, I could take or leave a lot of these movies. I do feel like Gunn's gonna, you know, depending on how many of these characters he decides to reuse, I think he can probably do a lot of he can probably, or whoever writes and directs a lot of these movies can probably do a lot of these things better. What I would like to see going forward in this new universe, right, is make Batman less important. We have enough, as much as I like a lot of the past Batman product, we have enough Batman. Especially if you're going to have if the patents and stuff is going to keep going forward, like, do we need another Batman to be the center of this universe? Like, he's doing so much weird out there shit. Like, you don't need Batman to be that big of a deal here.
Well,
and I would
can never have too much Batman, man. I can never have too much Batman.
I know, but I mean, they're gonna do if Andy Muschietti's gonna do a Batman and Robin movie for him, like, fine. But like, does Batman need to be the central character in every freaking DC thing ever? Like, you know
what I would love to see?
Yes, he does.
I would I would love to see that Batman and Robin movie, which I know it's not going to be, but I would love it to be Dick and Damian.
Damian. I would love that. It looks like
and you know, I would love for that to be it, but it's gonna be more of like a father son thing, so obviously they're gonna use Bruce and Bruce is Batman. Bruce and Damian. But
yeah,
I'm really hoping that they do introduce Dick at some point, because I mean that's the one character that throughout like all of movie history, I mean, you know, going back to like the Adam West movies, you know, he was always a joke because, you know, it's Robin in the little like tight outfit or whatever, you know what I mean? And then going all the way to Batman, you know, Forever and Batman and Robin, you know what I mean? Chris O'Donnell was great and all, but it's like, I don't know, like, you know, they really didn't do the character justice in those. And, you know, we really haven't gotten, you know, Robin and or Dick Grayson and anything else in the last, what, 25 years, 26 years.
We did get Titans.
That's like that. Yeah, but that was like a Max series. It wasn't really like a movie. It really wasn't like put out there. But like, you know, I don't think anything's really done him justice. You know what I mean? And it's a shame because, I mean, he is the linchpin of the DC universe. I mean, he has connections to everybody. You know what I mean? And you could do a lot with him. You know, you could have him be the guy that shows up in everybody's movies. You know what I mean? Because he has all of these connections with all of these characters. But
Now, Milos, are you at all familiar with the... And I know you're not really a comic reader. I know that stuff is hard to get where you are. You've mentioned that in the past. Are you at all familiar with the period of Dick Grayson as Batman from about, what was that, like 10 years ago now?
14
years. But I don't know much about it. I know he was Batman but I never really
So there was a period of time where I believe it was after the final Crisis event where Batman gets hit by, you know, Darkseid's weird I-beam things, and he appears to die. And then Dick Grayson takes over as Batman, and he has Bruce's son Damian, who had been raised by Talia al Ghul, as his Robin.
Yeah, I know who Damian is.
And that to me, and still to this day, like, they're still trying to make Damian a big deal. That was the best period for Damian I've ever seen, when Dick was his Batman and there was none of the father-son bullshit around
it. Because there was such a great dichotomy between them, because Dick is like more of like a Peter Parker type of character, but in the Batman world. You know what I mean? If Batman was Peter Parker, or if Peter Parker was Batman, like that's who Dick Grayson is. Yeah, so you take that kind of character and you put him with this like dark, brooding asshole of a kid who was raised by a bunch of ninja, demon-loving assassins. You know what I mean? And it just became a whole bunch of fun, you know?
I don't know how much modern DC you've been reading lately, Justin, but there is now another period that I would put not quite on the level with that for Damian, but close. They paired him with Superman's kid. And that stuff is really fun. The Super Son stuff, really fun.
Oh, yeah. I thought you meant, like, recently. But, yeah, no, Super Sons is awesome. I have all of those. I think Super Sons is great. I watched a little animated movie they made of that. And that was
pretty good. Oh, yeah,
that was a good one.
I really like Super Sons. Kind of does that, too, because John Kent is kind of, they try to make him a little like Dick Grayson a little bit, you know what I mean? So they have like that, like, you know, Damian's like, you're too naive for the world, I know what's going on, kid. And then John kind of makes him, you know, act like a kid sometimes, you know, before they
just like take your gun out of your ass.
They broke up the Super Sons and they grew him up, and, you know, they made him Superman for a while, and then he wasn't Superman. And I haven't really been paying attention since like probably 2020, like 2021, end of 2020, 2021. I've been kind of staying away from a lot of the Marvel and DC stuff because it doesn't really seem like it's something I'd be into. But
I would recommend current Nightwing. I think you would like it.
I also want to go back and read some of the stuff because I think Chip Wright is writing Batman, or he was writing Batman.
He just started within a couple months ago. Yeah, Zdarsky. Yeah, he's writing. Yeah,
so I've seen that he was writing because you know how much I like the Spider-Man stuff he did. So I was interested to see what he did with Batman.
We should do Life Story someday. I completely forgot about that. We should absolutely do that. Have you read that?
Which one?
The Spider-Man Life Story thing where he ages in real time. Have you ever read that?
Yes.
We should do that.
That is one of my favorite Spider-Man stories of all time.
Yeah, we should absolutely do that.
Between that and Spider-Man Blue.
Yeah, I've never read Blue. I should pick that up. Comic digression. Here's a thought I just had about Nightwing in the movies, right? The best way I think you could do that would be, and you know the studios will never allow this. The studios will be like, he's got to be Robin first because no one will get it. And it's like, no, just fucking introduce Nightwing. Like, let him be 25 or 30 or whatever.
Like, who cares? Like, nobody even remembers what Robin's name is anyway.
Yeah, and you can just say, like, you know, and especially that'll set up, if they're going to do Bruce and Damian in this Brave and the Bold movie, like, that'll set up, like, immediate conflict between them, because they'll be like, hey, I was you before you, kid, okay.
Brother type of thing, you know?
Yeah, so, yeah, and if they're not going to do Dick as Batman, then the best way you can play that out is to have, you know, that immediate bickering thing between them. That would be great. I am really curious, too, about as far as other things that we know Gunn's universe is going to do, the James Mangold Swamp Thing, that has my attention, because I'm a really big fan of Mangold, and that's a character that I'm really curious to see what they're going to do with. The Lanterns TV show, that will depend on the casting, largely. Didn't they say Fillion's gonna be Guy Gardner?
I think he threw that out there, or I think Fillion was like trying to like push for it or something, but I don't know if that was official.
I'm gonna look up if that actually is a thing, or if I'm just assuming that's a thing. Okay, is Nathan Fillion playing Guy Gardner? Nathan Fillion will play Guy Gardner in Superman Legacy, a movie that will reboot both the beloved superhero and the DC Universe on film. So we are getting Nathan Fillion as Guy Gardner.
Official thing.
Yep. And I mean, he should have been Hal years ago. Like, when he did all the animated stuff, like, he absolutely... And I know he wasn't a big enough name at the time. I get why they did what they did with the Ryan Reynolds movie. But if he had been Hal instead of Ryan Reynolds, I don't want to say that movie would have done way better than it actually did, because it was still a pretty flawed movie. But I would have liked it a lot more if he had been Hal. So yeah, I mean, I think we'll get more into this, a lot of DC stuff, as the new universe spools out over the next few years. And apparently, I don't know if we ever talked about this, he's giving like each phase of the universe a title rather than the whole like Marvel phase 1, phase 2, phase 37 thing. The first, and this isn't, I don't even think we've seen everything they've announced for this yet, but the first group of things is going to be called Gods and Monsters, which, you know, could mean a lot of things. So, you know, but it'll be interesting to see if that overall thing plays into the vibe of any of it either.
I did see a quote here from Gunn, and he replied to somebody about Blue Beetle. He said, Zolo Maradona will continue playing Blue Beetle in the DCU, as Viola Davis will Amanda Waller and John Cena will Peacemaker. So those are three characters from the DCEU that will continue into Gunn's universe.
Nice. That's good to hear. And Corey wants to watch Blue Beetle this weekend, so maybe that'll get me into the mood for this stuff again. So yeah, yay. That actually makes me happy to hear that, because I know that was the movie that I was that I liked the most probably out of the ones this year, but was most bummed out by, because like when I went to see it, nobody was there and it absolutely bombed. But it's nice to hear that he's aware of what that movie could, what that character could actually do going forward. So at least we haven't seen the last of them, one would hope. DC-related news.
Last word, we did mention that this is something that's actually the most gun-like out of DCEU.
That's definitely something. Did the Blue Beetle show.
Yeah. And that was something definitely like.
Okay.
That's something he would do. So the fact that somebody did it and did it well, did it good, it's just a shame.
Yep.
I believe release mine was always it. He's going to finally keep it, because it's way too good to read off.
Yeah. In other DC related news, the long-awaited Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League game releases at the end of the month. I don't know if that's PS5 only or not. I'm probably gonna grab it. But I don't know.
PS5, not PS4, so I won't be grabbing it. But
okay, that's
well, in that's PS5 in only. Another DC news, the animated part one, Crisis on Infinite Earths dropped.
Oh, Crisis!
At some point last
week. Yeah, that's right.
Shit. Yeah, that was...
Now, I think we should do those, but do we want to wait for all three to come out and just do it all at once?
Is it on Max, or do you have to rent it?
Well, it just came out for rental, basically, or you can buy it. I think it's going to be a while before it hits Max. But why I asked that is because they're doing it in three parts. And I'm wondering if we should just wait for all of it to come out, or just
do I'm probably going to separately.
I think it's animated stuff first. So I think it's fine to wait all three drop.
Yeah, I would rather just wait for all three and just do it in a run.
I mean, I saw the first
one. That's all. I was
see the other thing as well, but at some point, probably going to feel too. Back.
Yeah, I mean, we'll talk about, because I'm sure Josh might even want to do that one too, so we'll talk about that down the road when that becomes more of a thing. I know the first one's out now. God rest the DCEU, we hardly knew you, I guess, or maybe perhaps we knew too much and that was the problem. I'm not sure. Actually.
Well, as our resident ordained minister, I can preside over these proceedings.
Not true.
So it was good to know you, DCEU. You came in and you snapped Zod's neck. You left with Aquaman trying to get his world as part of your world. And you know what?
Part of your world.
It's all just a circle of life, man. Just a circle of life.
You know?
Dust.
You tried to give the Shazam family as a ripoff of Power Rangers with their multicolored suits. And, you know. You tried. You failed. Sayonara.
Yep. I hope Levi comes back, too. That's me.
Yeah.
But you and I are unabashed Levi fans.
Yeah, I like that whole cast. That was a really good cast. You know?
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. Yep. I don't think we really have anything else here, and we probably spent half the show talking about the actual movie, but whatever. That's generally what we do, so I'm not real concerned.
That's kind of the shit that we do, so you know, it's whatever. But looking for the new stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll be really interested to see what. I do think it's weird to start it with a cartoon, though. Like, I think they probably would have been. And I think, too, the other thing with Creature Commandos is that the people that want to find something like that probably will. But most people will probably go into the Superman movie having no clue what Creature Commandos even is. So, you know, we'll see if it matters or not. I don't know.
Yeah, with involved, it seems like he's going to pull out a lot of, like, stuff nobody knows and try to pull his magic on Guardians of the Galaxy. Which, honestly, I think that might be the best move for this thing, is to just pull a bunch of characters out that, like, nobody knows and try to reintroduce them or try to bring them into the public consciousness, because that's kind of what they did with Iron Man. I mean, nobody really knew what Iron Man was
at the time.
Yeah.
I mean, if you go back to the comic books around that time, that was, like, right when that movie came out, or shortly before, it was right in the heat of all that Civil War shit, and Iron Man was basically a villain at that point, because he was, like, the government spokesperson for all the rounding up superheroes and shit. So, I mean, he was basically a villain in the comic books, and once that movie came out and did really well, they basically had to backtrack all that shit.
Another favorite Spider-Man book of mine is his Civil War book, where he debates on whether or not he comes out as Peter Parker, and that is like so great.
I'm doing a massive reread of Amazing Spider-Man right now, and I'm up to the end of the initial volume, so I'm still ways away from the Civil War tie-ins and whatever. But when I get to that, we should pull those out and review them. Because it does actually take a lot from, you know, they didn't really do much of that in the Civil War movie and whatever, because so many people in those movies have public identities that stuff was not really relevant. But it's an interesting thought.
Which I always hated that MCU is that, like, everybody knew who everybody was. And I always enjoyed the idea of, like, having a secret identity, because it kind of brings, like, extra drama to what you're watching. You know what I mean? Where, like, I hated what they did on Arrow, where, like, eventually, like, every season, like, every main character knew who Arrow was. Like, you know, I enjoyed the fact that, like, these characters, like, only, like, a very, very small circle of people know who these people are. You know what I mean?
Right.
But
yeah, and especially comic book Spider-Man, because, you know, anybody who figured out who he was would end up dead somehow. So, you know, that was a big part of that. But yeah, when I get to those Spider-Man books again, we should pull those out as a review topic. But especially that might be how we get into, like, the comic book version of Civil War versus the movie. Because there are some similarities, there are some differences, mostly differences, because it's set up in such a way that I don't think Disney ever would have had interest in actually doing. But whatever, that's just me. I guess we'll reconvene on the DC front whenever Creature Commandos hits or ends, so that we can do a recap on it. I assume at some point a couple of us probably watched Echo by now. In a Marvel sense, so maybe at some point we'll review that. I quite enjoyed that, actually. I watched it in one. Corey and I watched it in one sitting. Because
how many?
Five. And all of them came out at the same time. It's all out.
It's a quick binge. Really quick binge. Yeah.
It was maybe 4 hours total. Four and a half. Yeah. Yep. So yeah, I mean, we got through it in one sitting. It was not bad. Quite enjoyed it, actually. So I'm Milos, I know you watched it, right? Did you finish it?
I saw it.
Okay, you were in the middle of it when we talked about it last.
I didn't know if you finished it or not. No, I was in the server when I finished it. I don't I thought it was cool.
Yeah, no, I liked it. I kind of hope they do.
Title points were different, but
yeah,
you know, they could have set it up a little bit differently, and instead of 5 episodes, they could have probably would have enjoyed like 4 1-hour episodes more. I can't really complain. I think they did a fairly decent job.
Yeah, D'Onofrio was great as usual. I could.
They just made. They just made all the Netflix shows canon in the MCU.
The Netflix shows are now official, which I love. Those are all cool except for Iron Fist. and I actually should give Iron Fist another run, but I think it still sucks. But I should probably at some point give it another run. Here's my thing about the Netflix shows. Honestly, like, I watched Daredevil 1 and I watched everything prior to the Defenders coming out pretty religiously, right? Because I enjoyed a lot of that stuff. And then once the Defenders came out, it was just kind of a letdown. And then after that, I just kind of drifted off a lot of it. Like, I never saw Daredevil 3. I never saw Jessica Jones. I want to say I never saw anything past Jessica Jones 1, even. Never bothered with Luke Cage 2 or Iron Fist 2, and I never went near the Punisher, ever. So, I think now that it's beneficial.
I think you're missing out. I think all this stuff is worth watching, except for Iron Fist.
Luke Cage 1 and 2 are pretty great. I know a lot of people threw Punisher in, but I really enjoy Luke Cage. It's good stuff.
And
Jessica Season 1 is awesome. Jessica Jones Season 2 is okay. Daredevil Season 3, I feel, is a lot better than Daredevil Season 2. The only thing I liked in Season 2 was like the first 4 episodes. After that, I could lose it. I only got 1 episode into Punisher, and I couldn't do it. And then I got like 2 episodes into Iron Fist, and I gave up. It was like the worst show I had ever seen. So...
yeah, I mean,
Iron Fist is definitely not worth watching. But everything else, I enjoyed. Honestly, after Iron Fist, the worst of the shows for me is actually the Defenders themselves. Like that, when they're all together,
yeah.
Like that season of Defenders was all right, but their personal shows to me a lot better.
Yeah. So I was actually kind of excited to see all that stuff get the official seal of approval. Because, you know, for the longest time, Marvel sort of danced around whether that stuff was, you know, part of the deal or not. So it's nice to see they finally made a actual decision on that somewhere. We're probably going to, I don't see us doing anything Marvel related for a while, unless it's actual comic reviews, because, unless somebody actually bites the bullet and goes to Madam Web, maybe. Because that's...
I probably will.
Valentine's... That's Valentine's Day, I think, around in this country.
I
might
go,
because she's not... Yeah, I might go, because she's not...
They made them, like, color-coded, like, all the Madam Web people. And there was even a joke, because they came out with, like, promotional footage of, like, all 4 characters with like 4 different colors behind them, and they were all in like spider outfits. And somebody's like, "What is this? The Morphin Spider Woman?"
I did see they announced the runtime for Madam Web, and it's, you know, it's not terrible. It's just it was announced as like a record for the Sony movies, and I was like, oh, maybe it'll be like, you know, 215, 220, whatever, you know, maybe they'll actually really try to get into it this one. No, it's 156, which is fine. That's a perfectly valid runtime for something like that. But I was just like, that just shows you how weird and abortive a lot of the Sony movies have been, because it's that short and they're talking about it like it's some sort of record. Okay. Yeah, that'll probably be the next comic book related thing we do as far as movies or TV, unless we actually do Echo, I guess, in the next couple weeks.
But as far as other, yeah, that would be the next thing. And then maybe at some point next year, Kraven and Deadpool 3. And I don't think there's anything DC related planned for this year because it's all coming in 25 or later. And I do think you have a good point with the, you know, let's do the lesser known characters for DC because they had enough wax at it with, you know, Batman and all those other things that you might as well try some less identifiable stuff and see what people think. Like, I'm psyched for The Authority and Booster Gold and Swamp Thing and all these things that we've never seen on a scale like that. Even the Green Lantern show. Like, they had the movie, obviously, but that what that Lantern show appears to be is going to be a completely different take on that kind of thing than it would be if they did another, like a spin-off of the Reynolds movie or whatever.
Reynolds movie just kind of killed any kind of momentum for Green Lantern. Like, it just murdered any kind of momentum they had for any character in that Green Lantern universe. You know?
Yeah. I mean, Waller's in that movie. I mean, the gun Waller is, or the Suicide Squad Waller is much closer to the actual comic book Amanda Waller than Angela Bassett as a scientist who just happened to be named Amanda Waller. But yeah, that's the closest thing that I can think of that was ever used in the current universe from that movie, but yeah.
So what might excite listeners of our podcast is there was a Star Trek and Green Lantern crossover comic that they did through IDW.
Oh, that's right. I read that.
That was really good. It was Kirk's crew that they crossed over with, and it was excellent. I really enjoyed it.
Yep. I'd have to maybe when the Lantern show is going to come out, maybe we'll do that as kind of like a lead into the Lantern show.
Part two, which part two wasn't, if I recall, part two wasn't all that great, but the first one was really good.
I think I read the first one at least. I'll have to go back and look. Yeah. Not sure, but I think I did. It sounds familiar as you say it. I might not have finished it, though. I'll have to go back and look.
Crossovers back then. They did Star Trek and Green Lantern. They did, I think, Power Rangers and Green Lantern. They did Power Rangers and Ninja Turtles. They did Justice League and Power Rangers. They did a whole bunch of shit. Like there were all these random crossovers that they were doing. I think they did like Batman and Godzilla, and then they did Power Rangers and Godzilla. Like, it's
right now they're doing that. I'm not reading this, but they did it. They're currently doing a Justice League Godzilla Kong thing. I don't know. Yeah. And then you have there's always the Batman Ninja Turtles stuff, Batman, from a couple years ago. Yep. I mean, yeah, there was also a IDW also did a Star Trek Doctor Who thing. It was Next Generation and Doctor Who from a couple years ago. It was it was Matt Smith with Karen Gillan and Arthur Darvill and the Picard crew.
Nice.
So, and then there was also I don't know if anybody remembers this. There was also a way back in the late 90s when Marvel had the Star Trek license. They did a one-off comic with the Kirk crew and the X-Men. And I don't even remember what it was anymore, but it was during that period.
They did a novel with them too. I have one of the novels. It's called Planet X, right? Yeah.
Yeah. They did a one-off comic and that was Next Gen and the X-Men, right? They did a one-off comic with Kirk's crew and the X-Men. All I remember from the cover was it was during that period where Wolverine had the bone claws. And I was just like, okay. And I wasn't really reading X-Men at that point, so I was like, why did that happen? What the hell? But yeah, as we go off on massive digressions of all kinds, But that's what we do around here. So, yeah. So we're going to plan out some things for the next few weeks, I think. And we'll, you know, we'll keep producing stuff as we're good at. So, yeah. So, I'll get back to you guys about, you know, we'll probably hit some of the Oscar nominees once the nominations come out. Some of those will probably end up being things we intended to do anyway, but just never got to. So, we'll probably get some of those, and hopefully we'll get an Echo review out in the next week or two somewhere. Yeah, so thanks for joining me for this, boys. This was fun.
As usual.
A blast, always.
All right.